Unit 10, Literature, pages 230 to 232.
While the Auto Waits, adapted from a story by O. Henry. It was beginning to get dark, and the girl in grey came again to that quiet corner of that quiet small park. She sat on a bench and began to read a book, for there was still half an hour of daylight in which it was possible to read. Her dress was very simple in style, and a hat with a large veil covered her beautiful face. She had come to the park at the same hour on the previous day, and on the day before that, and there was a young man who knew it. The young man came near, praying he'd get lucky. His prayers were answered, for as the girl was turning a page, the book slipped from her fingers and fell to the ground. The young man hurried to pick up the book, returning it hopefully to her, politely saying a few words about the weather. The girl looked him over slowly, at his ordinary neat clothes and his common face. "You may sit down if you like," she said in a rich, slow voice. "Really, I would like you to do so. The light is too bad for reading. I would prefer to talk." He politely sat down on the seat by her side. "Do you know," he said, "that you are the most beautiful girl I have seen in a long time? I had my eye on you yesterday. You didn't know somebody was knocked down by those pretty eyes of yours, did you, honey?" "Whoever you are," said the girl coldly, "you must remember that I am a lady. I will excuse what you have just said, because obviously it is a natural way to speak, in your circle. I asked you to sit down, and that is all." "I beg your pardon," said the young man. His look of satisfaction had changed to one of shame. "It was my fault. You know, I mean, there are girls in parks, you know, that is, of course, you don't know, but..." "Let's change the subject, please. Of course I know," said the young lady. "Now tell me about these people passing each other along these paths. Where are they going? Why do they hurry so? Are they happy?" "It is interesting to watch them," he agreed. "It's the wonderful drama of life. Some are going to supper and some to other places. One wonders what their stories are." "I do not," said the girl. "I'm not curious. I come here to sit because here only can I be near common and simple people. I speak to you because I want to talk, for once, to a natural man, one unspoiled by wealth. Oh, you do not know how tired I am of it. Money, 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 and of the men who hang around me, all trying to attract my attention. I am sick of pleasure, of jewellery, of travel, of society, of luxuries of all kinds." "I always had an idea," said the young man hesitatingly, "that money must be a pretty good thing." "Enough money to live comfortably, yes. But when you have so many millions that..." She finished the sentence with a hopeless wave of her hand. "It is boring," she continued. "Drivers, dinners, theatres, dances. Sometimes the very tinkle of the ice in my champagne glass nearly drives me mad." The young man looked at her with interest. "I have always liked to read and hear about the life of wealthy and fashionable people. I suppose I am a bit of a snob, but I like to have my information accurate. Now, I understand that champagne is cooled in the bottle and not by placing ice in the glass." The girl gave a musical laugh of real amusement. "Ha ha! You should know," she explained patiently, "that in my circle we depend upon change for our amusement. Just now it is the fashion to put ice in champagne." "I see," admitted the young man humbly. "These special amusements don't become known to the common public." "Sometimes," continued the girl, "I have thought that if I ever should love a man, he would be a simple man, a worker. What is your profession?" "A very modest one," said the young man, "but I hope to rise in the world. I work in a restaurant." The girl drew back a little. "Not as a waiter. Work is noble. Personal service, you know. I am a cashier there," and he pointed to the opposite side of the park and the bright electric sign, "Restaurant." The girl looked at her tiny watch and rose hurriedly. "Why are you not at work?" she asked. "I'm on the night shift," said the young man. There's still an hour before I have to start work. May I hope to see you again? I do not know. Perhaps. I must go quickly now. I have a dinner and a theatre to go to tonight. And oh, she sighed, the same old routine. Perhaps you noticed a car at the corner of the park as you came in, a white one. With red wheels? Asked the young man, frowning thoughtfully. Yes, I always come in that. Pierre waits for me there. He thinks I'm shopping in the department store across the square. Imagine a life where we must deceive even our drivers. Good night. But it is dark now, and the park is full of rude men. May I not walk you to the car? If you have any respect for my wishes, said the girl, you will remain at this bench for 10 minutes after I have left. Again, good night. And then she went away. The young man watched her elegant figure as she made her way to the entrance to the park, towards the corner where the car stood. Then he rose and followed her. When she reached the corner, she turned her head to look at the car and then passed it, continuing on across the street. Hidden behind a standing taxi, the young man followed her movements closely. She entered the restaurant with the bright sign and went right to the back, only to appear again quickly without her hat and veil. A red-haired girl left the cashier's desk after pointing angrily at the clock. The girl in grey took her place. The young man pushed his hands into his pockets and walked slowly back along the sidewalk. Then he stepped into the white car, leaned back against the cushions, and said two words to the driver. Club, Henry.